When New Orleans first sought to create a team to join the NFL, one of them approached Archbishop Hammond, then Archbishop of New Orleans, to ask him about the name. They wanted to know if he would mind that they would use the name the Saints for a football team. His response was simple. "That's fine with me, but remember that most of our saints were martyrs." Indeed, for most of Archbishop Hannon's life, his little warning proved to be quite apt. The saints were notorious for their ability to lose, and the brown paper bag was a regular sight at many of the games. But not long before Archbishop Hannon finally passed on to his reward, he was able to see a single great victory on the part of his favorite team. The now famous newspaper headline was simply, "Amen." Amen indeed. That Super Bowl victory was long awaited and joyfully received. Many even gave them some of the credit for the city's recovery after Katrina. And when the Saints finally won, it was my first year at seminary, I can remember thinking that it must have been something like Simeon's Canticle for Archbishop Hannon. You know, the famous prayer that Simeon prayed when Jesus was presented in the temple and he took him in his arms and he gave thanks to God for being able to glimpse the Savior before he died. "Now, Lord, you may let your servant go in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation you have prepared." Of course, it was just football, after all. But I think it makes a fitting analogy. And Christ tells us, "Blessed are the poor, the meek, the merciful, the clean, the peacemakers, those who mourn, those who are persecuted." This teaching, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, is not merely a description, but an invitation and indeed a command. Christ is not just informing us that such people are blessed, but urging us to seek God's blessing by emulating these traits. And for most of Christian history, and for most saints, persevering in the midst of persecution and apparent failure is just how it goes. Meekness, poverty, and purity are never appreciated by the world. And proclaiming the truth about God always invites persecution sooner or later. And we should be somewhat comfortable with that fact, just as we were comfortable with the fact that the saints often lost. The saints of the church are something the world is usually ashamed of. Mother Teresa and John Paul II seem to be notable exceptions, but trust me when I tell you that they are not without their fair share of detractors. And so it is with the faith, and we are not wrong to expect persecution, even in this great country, so renowned for so long for its freedom. But as with Archbishop Hannon and the football team, it's not always doom and gloom. Every once in a great while, a great light shines through, and we taste victory. And indeed, today, or really tomorrow, is such a victory when we celebrate the victory of the saints. We are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. But on these great feasts, the church peels back the veil of heaven just a little and gives us a glimpse through the book of Revelation. It gives us a vision of a great multitude wearing white robes and holding palm branches, symbols of victory, in their hands. They cry out in joyful worship and even prostrate themselves, not quite unlike the cheers and gestures at a football game. But unlike these cheers, they last forever. And how we long to join them. How we long to be in that number when the saints go marching in. To be free of sorrow and pain, to be united with our God, who alone satisfies the constant anguish and boredom that lurks within our noisy hearts and minds. What will it be like? We have a few glimpses in the lives of the saints and in Scripture, but ultimately we know only that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that, incidentally, is how we can guide ourselves to him. The fact is that every single one of you is called to be a saint. Not just the few famous priests and religious we all know. Saint Therese tells us of her little way, and her parents are themselves proof that any state of life can lead to sanctity. But how? By striving to see him as he is. First, be faithful to your calling in life, whatever that is. Do your duties for the love of God. But then strive to see Christ as he is in Scripture. Read Scripture often. We can see him as he is in prayer. So pray as often as you can. We see Christ in the teachings of the church. Never stop learning the faith. Use the Formed program that brings great resources right to your home computer and costs you nothing. Lastly, we also see Christ in the poor, in our service to our neighbor. We see him as he is. So let us strive to see him in the poor, in our service to him, in caring for those in need. And let us strive to see him in our participation in the liturgy. Mass is not just a communal gathering. It is meant to be a participation in the heavenly liturgy. That victory march that we see in the book of Revelation. The signs, symbols, words, and gestures all point to something higher. Actively participating in the liturgy, setting aside our own preferences, paying attention, doing as the church asks, this gradually helps us to see him as he really is, and not as the world likes to pretend he is. Oh, when the saints go marching in, how I'd like to be in that number, and how I'd like to see you there, too.